Good afternoon, everybody. Oh, here you are, so glad to see me back, aren't you? I can feel the warmth. Good afternoon, everybody. Love it. Oh, there, that's much better. And yes, thank you for commenting on my tan. It's blazing, I know. Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you for the privilege of giving our tithes and our offerings and the blessing of seeing how those small offerings are making a difference near and far. And Lord, right from our work in Lurgan and Craigavon, right to places like Romania and to the ends of Africa, Lord, we just thank you for that privilege and we thank you for the grace of giving. Lord, as we come now to your word, we pray that you would lead us, guide us, show us how to live each and every day, and from this day forth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, I heard a little story, or I think I heard it some time ago because I've just written them in a notebook from a long time ago. But it's about a man who is talking to God, and the man says, "God, how long is a million years to you?" And God said, "Son, it is like a second." And the man says, "How much is $1 million to you?" And God said, "It's like a penny." And man said, "Can you spare a penny?" And God said, "Sure, just give me a second." There you go. Now, time is a very important thing. You know, mankind has always been trying to master time and find a way of measuring time. And first of all, of course, one of the earliest ones was the sundial as a way of measuring time. And eventually, people actually would have had sundials in their pockets, you know, personal sundials to try and figure out what time it is. And then the evolution of how to measure time went a little further, and they started using something called a water clock, which was a kind of bowl with a hole in it. And they would measure time by how long it took the water to go through the hole, but that was not that effective because the water actually moved through the hole at different paces based on how high the temperature was of the water, and also the water eroded the hole, made the hole bigger, and then time moved a bit faster, you know. And then they moved to the hourglass. Okay, sand was a better way of measuring time, and that's how they measured time. But the problem was it didn't measure whole days of time, and that wasn't helpful. So Charlemagne, they actually did the 12-hour hourglass, but nobody was strong enough to turn it over. You know, it was a big problem. And then we moved to TikTok, not the app, but the actual ticking and talking, okay? And everybody had a timepiece. And there was a time when everyone in London would have actually set their watches by Big Ben, okay? And of course now we've moved into a place where, well, we have anatomically correct timekeeping through the internet and all that sort of stuff. But time is something that we're really interested in measuring. But time, of course, is relative. I'm sure you've heard the wonderful dualism of if twins were on the earth and one of the twins went to space and went at nearly the speed of light, that the twin on earth would age 200 years while the twin up in space would only age 2. That would be good, wouldn't it? Okay, but I wonder, do you think about how time is relative? So imagine a 2-year-old, okay? Now, to a 2-year-old, a year is a very long time. A year is actually half, 50% of a 2-year-old's life. So a year to them is an age, okay? But here we'll go. We'll go for Johnny. Okay, Johnny, what age are you? 25. Now, he knew that straight away. Well done, Johnny. Okay, now, it won't take a genius to know that he... Oh, no, that's not right. Hold on, we'll have to do that again. Okay, so 100 divided by... Oh, let me see, 25. Okay. So what's that? What percentage do you think that is of your life? A year? Okay, 4%, is that? Does that sound right? Okay, right. Now, is anybody here 80? All right, let me see now. Okay, anybody here 80? Now, put up your hand. Oh, you're not 80. I was sitting beside you at a concert on Friday night. You're a young man. Okay, well, a year It's 50% of a two-year-old's life, but it's only 1.25% of Raymond's life, okay? So a year flies by for Raymond, doesn't it, brother? So time, it's relative. But we see in our passage, if we move to the next slide, that our passage, and actually Scripture speaks about time quite a lot, but right here in our passage in Ephesians 5, it talks about time. It says, "See then that you walk carefully, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." It actually says time twice there, you could say, redeeming the time because the times are evil. Okay? "See then that you walk carefully, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the times are evil." It speaks about time there a couple of times. If we move to the next slide, here's a question. What time is it, Mr. Wolf? What's the time? What's the time? It's a very important question we ask. What is the time? Because, you know, based on the time, you do things in a different way. And what is the time that we inhabit today? What's the time that Paul is speaking to the Ephesians about the time they inhabit? Well, it says, "See then you walk carefully, not as fools as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, folks, we don't focus on this that much because I'm much more inclined, I suppose, in a sense, to focus on what God is doing and the wonder of what God is doing in the world rather than focusing on how bad things are. But, of course, we must acknowledge that if we went out onto the street there and we asked people, you know, how do you think things are going in the world at large? I think people would say, it's awful. I think they would say, well, you've got the cost of the living crisis and you've got all these issues here in our own society, you know, and you've got stuff going across the world in Pakistan and all sorts of places. What about the Ukraine? And we have all this stuff going on and it's terrible. These days are evil. I think that's what people actually out there would say. But for someone who's a Christian, who believes that this word of God expresses something of where God wants things to be, well, the times are even more evil, aren't they? Things are, in many ways, as you would look at it, you say they're going off the rails. Okay, I'm sure some of us have looked at some of the changes that are being brought through for RSE in schools. And you look at the things that are going to be taught to young people in schools, definitely at post-primary and potentially at primary school, and you just think, these days are evil. Things have become acceptable in our day that would never have been acceptable in the past. And even in the church, there are things that are being deemed acceptable in the church that nowhere in the history of Christianity would anyone have ever believed they were acceptable. These days that we are in they're evil days. And as much as we want to focus on the good things that God's doing, and we've heard about wonderful things, there are 10 different ministries and missions where God is doing wonderful things, we must say that Love for Life have a difficult job on their hands, don't they, going into schools nowadays. And anyone in leadership in a church has a difficult job on their hands, and any Christian who wants to live the way of Christ has a difficult job on their hands as well, because these days are evil and we shouldn't be surprised. I don't know if anybody's watched the film Tangled, which is a sort of more modern representation of Rapunzel. Anyone, put up your hand if you've watched it. Well, Isabel's definitely watched this. Okay, oh, there's some big children here as well, you know. Well, you know the story of Rapunzel. She's up a tower and there's a lady keeping her up there and she thinks the lady is her mother. And mother knows best, as you know. And the mother says this to Rapunzel as a justification of why she must not leave the tower. She says, "The world is dark and selfish and cruel. If it finds even the slightest ray of sunshine, it destroys it. The world is dark and selfish and cruel. If it finds even the slightest ray of sunshine, it destroys it." Well, folks, can I say that if you want to see evidence of that, see what the world did to the Lord Jesus. Look at the cross and see exactly what the world did to the ray of sunshine, the light of the world that came in to our midst. They crucified him. And the days that we live in are increasingly evil. And the Bible tells us that the sooner we move towards Christ's return, the more evil they will become. That is the context of your life and my life. We live in evil days. That's the time. And we mustn't say anything else. Those are the times that we live in. And we must live, and it says, walk carefully. And if we move to the next slide, thanks, Jamie. It's time for a number of things, and I'm going to mention, I think, four things. The first thing is it's time, if you want to live for God in these evil days, to do God's will. Verse 17 of our passage says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, everybody in London set their timepiece against an objective true time. And the Church of Jesus Christ, we should set our moral compass against the things of God and against His Word. Because if we let the Word go, we lose everything. This is the will of the Lord, and this is His calling on our lives. And if we are to be unwise, we will follow the current of evil days. If we are wise, we will hold on to this scripture with all that we are. You know, we had a lovely gospel concert in Dollingstown just as part of the reopening. I'm sure many of you were there. I was sitting beside a good singer. We had a lovely gospel concert, and I was praying at the end with a young man who said he's going through some really difficult times, and he said he actually sleeps with the Bible pressed against his chest. Folks, can I say that we need to be people who hold on to the Word of God in these evil days? That is our compass. So if we just move back to the slide, please, Jamie. We see that we need to be people who understand the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord, folks, isn't just that we live clean lives, although that is the will of the Lord. It isn't just that we hold a certain set of virtues and convictions, even though that is the will of the Lord. It's also that we actually do His will. Not that we simply believe in our heads, but that we actually do His will. I was listening to something last night, very, very, very late, and it was a preacher speaking about an article he'd read in a Reader's Digest magazine. And in the Reader's Digest, it was talking about a couple who were basically sharing a dream life, in a sense. Because what they'd done is they'd made so much money and they'd worked so hard up until their sort of late 40s that they were in a position they could retire. And they were now living in one of these stilted houses on a beach, and they spent their days collecting shells. That sounds good, doesn't it? Collecting shells. And that's what they were going to spend the rest of their life doing. And we might listen to that and we might say, doesn't that sound wonderful? And here's the reason why it sounds wonderful. Because we are being indoctrinated to believe that that's what we should do. That we should store things up in such a way that we'll have an easy retirement. And what the speaker was saying, which I thought was wonderful, is he's saying, what a lie. What a lie. What a lie that when we stand before our judge and our creator, and he shows us his son who died for us, that we show him our shell collection. What a lie. Imagine how embarrassed we'd be if when he shows us his son that was pierced for us, we show him our shell collection. Or we show him the things that we have wound down our days in comfort doing. Instead of in these evil days, doing God's will. I don't want to show my shells. I want to show souls that I have led to the Lord. I don't want to show my shells. I want to show the investment that I made into these 10 organizations. I don't want to show my great lazy boy chair. I want to show knees that have been in prayer. I didn't mean to say that, by the way. Sometimes preachers rhyme things and you think, isn't that good? That was an accident. That's what I want to show. I want to show things that matter. I love what a preacher called Francis Chan says. He says, the greatest fear of our lives should not be of failure. It should be of succeeding things in things that don't really matter. Our greatest fear in life should not be a failure. It should be of succeeding at things that don't really matter. On Friday night, and I think it's okay to share this because it was shared a little bit, there was a man at the end of the row for myself and Raymond, and his name is Bobby. And he was in a chair, and he was quite open with the fact that he's only got a few weeks to live. And I said to him, sir, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm so sorry, I'm praying for you. He says, son, I'm the richest man in the world. He says, I lost 15 million in business, but I have it all up there. And he couldn't wait to go to glory. You know, we could have had 15 million shells, but that's no good at all. Our greatest fear should not be a failure. It should be of succeeding at things that don't really matter. And God's will for us is not to simply live ordinary lives and come here each and every week. His purposes for us are so much greater than that. They must be. It's time in these evil days to do God's will. And if we're not doing his will, we're unwise, because we'll stand before him one day. Secondly, it's time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing that there are Christians who actually believe that you shouldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit? How clear can it be? Do not get drunk with wine. Do not be under the influence of alcohol to a point that it changes you. Be under the influence of God to the point that it changes you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you in these evil days under the influence of the culture or the Holy Spirit? Are you spending yourself? Are you spending your money? Are you building your relationships? Are you making your decisions based on what the Lord says? Because we must be in these days, or we will end up going with the current. There's very few fish swim against the current. One of the only ones, I believe, is the salmon. And we're being called to be people who swim against the current. Are we going to do that? To be filled and be under the influence of God? You know, it should be so much more. And I don't know why it's not. Well, I don't know why it's only located in Pentecost in our Church of Ireland calendar sometimes. But every single week, we should have a desire as we come to this place to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. We really should. And it shouldn't just be when people go to places like New Wine or New Horizon or Summer Madness or Keswick or whatever, that we're refilled. We should be refilled because we do leak. And we need to be refilled every time. You know, there's a lot of people who are living for the weekend. Isn't that right? And they just can't wait for a blowout on the weekend. We should be filled up on the weekend as we come together, brothers and sisters, and are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we're not filled with the Spirit, we'll be filled with the lies of the evil age that we currently inhabit. Thirdly, it's time. Thanks, Jamie, because I'd forgotten. It's time to sing. It says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. You know, I had a house full of people last night who were just having some food together. We were just sharing because we'd been at New Wine together. And we finished the night by just standing in a little circle and just praying over one another. It was a lovely time, although it left me going to bed very late. but it was a lovely time. And we even sang over one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's exactly how it should be. In fact, I had a whole weekend of it. Jamie's already showed you the picture. The Hannah family. I was sitting beside a good singer called Raymond Flanagan, and we sang I didn't even know the songs, but we sang anyway. Was it good, Raymond? No. We sang anyway. And on Saturday, I went to get Zara's iPhone fixed and went to Belfast, and I had to wait 2 hours in Belfast. And Jamie will show you a wee video. Sorry, Jamie, we're working you hard today. I'll show you a wee video of what was going on outside Victoria Square. Thanks, Jamie. So Friday night, the Hannah family, Saturday morning, these wild people singing in the middle of Victoria Square. Wonderful. And this is a time to sing. You know, if the cross shows us how evil the world is, you know, when the ray of light comes in and they destroy him, the cross also shows us our reason to sing. He really died for us. And we sing to him, making thankful noises from our hearts, but we also sing over one another. And it's so important that we come together week after week. In these evil days, we come together and we say the creed together and remind ourselves of the truth of the gospel, that we confess our sins together and we sing together and over one another and pray together and over one another. And that's what we need to be doing. It's time to do God's will. It's time to be filled, and it's time to sing. Finally, it's time to redeem the time. Now, I don't know if Zara was happy or sad to see this on the screen in Darlingstown this morning. She was smiling, so I was a bit nervous. But it's time to redeem the time. We live in evil times, and we are called to do what needs to be done to redeem those times. The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for men and women of God to do nothing. You know, there's a watch you can buy which is called the ticker. I don't know if you've heard of this, right? I think there'll be a few people buying them after this, okay? It's called the ticker. It's made by a Swedish designer called Fredrik Colting. And an algorithm works out when you're going to die, and it counts down every day towards it. Now, you all want one of these, don't you? Now, they sound great. And every day it counts down. Okay, so, oh, jeepers, over here, there we're in trouble. So it counts down. But you know what, Fredrik Colting, when people said, this sounds so morbid, he said, no, he says, I call it the happiness watch. Because you savor every day given to you. As he said, you savor every day given to you. And folks, we should savor every day given to us, okay? Because just like when we're buying the milk, we don't look at the price. Well, maybe we do now, but anyway. But we're more interested in the date of expiry. And we will all have a date of expiry, won't we? And the question is, how will we use our time? I love what Martin Luther said. He said, I've so much to do today, I'll spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I wonder, maybe some of us are just too busy in our lives. I found it so funny. I was once chatting to an older man, and he said to me, he says, my wife said to me this morning, are you stressed out? He says, no. Are you anxious? He said, no. He said, do you feel rushed? He said, no. And he says, why do you ask? She said, I've started noticing you flush the toilet before you finished. That's what he said. A rush. We're in rush. But we are meant to redeem the time. Redeem the time. I love this story. And it's one of my favorite preachers, a guy called John Tyson, who is he's an Australian butcher, but he now leads a church called Church of the City in New York. And that's what this wee picture's about, because he does some interesting things. He's very interesting. For any fathers here, he's very interesting. He sends a weekly email called Primal Path and helps people think about how they father their children in a godly way. And one of the things he did, which I don't think I'm likely to do, is he took his son, Nate, to a Moravian graveyard. Okay? And he took him to a Moravian graveyard and he walked him round, and after about 45 minutes, he said to his son, Nate, who's just an ordinary teenager, like all other teenagers, and he said to him, son, what did you notice about all those graves? And he said, I noticed that some people died before my age. He said, I noticed that some people actually died younger than me. And he says, what else did you notice? He says, I noticed that sometimes couples die very close together in terms of time. And he went on a few more little things, and John Tyson said to him, but is there anything else you noticed apart from, you know, birth and death? And he said, not really. He says, did you not notice what's in between? He says, did you not notice the dash? See the dash? That's my 1982. You wouldn't believe I'm so old, would you? But 1982, dash. And John Tyson said to his son, he said, that dash is your whole life. Dash is your whole life. How will you use it? That's true, isn't it? You go round the graveyard here, go out there, and you'll see lots of dashes. That dash represents a whole life. How will we use it? In Acts 2, Peter is addressing a big crowd. And one of the things, he says many things in that sermon, but one of the things he says is, he says, David, when he had accomplished all in his generation, laid down to sleep. It says, David, when he had accomplished all in his generation, he lay down to sleep. What does that mean? It means David, King David, did what God had for him to do, and then he died. And folks, can I say, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to do everything that God wants me to do, and I'm never going to, you can't avoid death, can you? You know, there's an end to the dash. But I want to redeem the time. I want to do what God wants me to do in this time. I don't want to collect shells. I don't want to collect admirers. I want to do the work that God's called me to do. And then I want to die and go to heaven. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Let's stand together. And just while our worship team come forward, and we sing a wonderful song, Go Forth and Tell, let's just pray. Lord God, we want to take a careful look today at how we walk. And we want to walk as wise people. Even in these evil days, we want to walk wise. We want to make the best use of time. We want to redeem our time. We want to be wise and understand the will of the Lord. We want to be wise and be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. We want to be wise and sing the songs of the Lord. We want to accomplish what we're called to do in our generation before we go to heaven and meet our Maker. Lord, let us be people who do not fear failure, but rather fear success at things that don't really matter. All for your glory, all for your renown. In Jesus' name, the church said,